No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill, and today is the second day of July. We made it. We made it to the second day of July. That feels really good. What a joy it is to be here with you. An honor, a very big pleasure and privilege to be reading the Word of God in this beautiful global campfire. I truly don't know why I get to do this, but what I can tell you is I love this space. I love reading the Bible. I love that I can read and gain a deeper understanding and click some things into place nearly every day that I am here. And I hope that it is having some effect on you in the same manner that it is challenging your beliefs. It is challenging your relationship with God. It is challenging your relationship with other people and making us be more aligned in who we are as human beings, who we are as sons and daughters of God, and who we are as followers of Christ. Today, we begin the book of 2 Kings. We read tiny little book of Obadiah yesterday, and we finished 1 Kings a while ago, and today we begin 2 Kings chapters 1 through 4, and this week we're reading New Living Translation, 2 Kings chapter 1. After King Ahab's death, the land of Moab rebelled against Israel. One day, Israel's new king, Ahaziah, fell through the latticework of an upper room at his palace in Samaria and was seriously injured. So he sent messengers to the temple of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, to ask whether he would recover. But the angel of the Lord told Elijah, who was from Tishbe, "Go and confront the messengers of the king of Samaria and ask them, 'Is there no God in Israel? Why are you going to Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, to ask whether the king will recover?' Now, therefore, this is what the Lord says: you will never leave the bed you are lying on. You will surely die." So Elijah went to deliver the message. When the messengers returned to the king, he asked them, "Why have you returned so soon?" They replied, "A man came to us and told us to go back to the king and give him this message. This is what the Lord says: is there no God in Israel? Why are you sending men to Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, to ask whether you will recover? Therefore, because you have done this, you will never leave the bed you are lying on. You will surely die." "What sort of man was he?" the king demanded. "What did he look like?" They replied, "He was a hairy man, and he wore a leather belt around his waist." "Elijah from Tishbe!" the king exclaimed. Then he sent an army captain with 50 soldiers to arrest him. They found him sitting on top of a hill. The captain said to him, "Man of God, the king has commanded you to come down with us." But Elijah replied to the captain, "If I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and destroy you and your 50 men." Then fire fell from heaven and killed them all. So the king sent another captain with 50 men. The captain said to him, "Man of God, the king demands that you come down at once." Elijah replied, "If I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and destroy you and your 50 men." And again, the fire of God fell from heaven and killed them all. Once more, the king sent a third captain with 50 men. But this time, the captain went up the hill and fell to his knees before Elijah. He pleaded with him, "O man of God, please spare my life and the lives of these, your 50 servants. See how the fire from heaven came down and destroyed the first two groups, but now please spare my life." Then the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, "Go down with him and don't be afraid of him." So Elijah got up and went with him to the king. And Elijah said to the king, "This is what the Lord says. Why did you send messengers to Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, to ask whether you will recover? Is there no God in Israel to answer your question? Therefore, because you have done this, you will never leave the bed you are lying on. You will surely die." So Ahaziah died, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. Since Ahaziah did not have a son to succeed him, his brother Joram became the next king. This took place in the second year of the reign of Jehoram, son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. The rest of the events in Ahaziah's reign and everything he did are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were traveling from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Bethel." But Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you." So they went down together to Bethel. The group of prophets from Bethel came to Elisha and asked him, "Did you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today?" "Of course I know," Elisha answered, "but be quiet about it." Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Jericho." But Elisha replied again, "As surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you." So they went on together to Jericho. Then the group of prophets from Jericho came to Elisha and asked him, "Did you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today?" "Of course I know," Elisha said, "but be quiet about it." Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to the Jordan River." But again, Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you." So they went on together. 50 men from the group of prophets also went and watched from a distance as Elijah and Elisha stopped beside the Jordan River. Then Elijah folded his cloak together and struck the water with it. The river divided, and the two of them went across on dry ground. When they came to the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I can do for you before I am taken away." And Elisha replied, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit and become your successor." "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah replied. "If you see me when I am taken from you, then you will get your request. But if not, then you won't." As they were walking along and talking, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared, drawn by horses of fire. It drove between the two men, separating them, and Elijah was carried by a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha saw it and cried out, "My father, my father, I see the chariots and charioteers of Israel." And as they disappeared from sight, Elisha tore his clothes in distress. Elisha picked up Elijah's cloak, which had fallen when he was taken up. Then Elisha returned to the bank of the Jordan River. He struck the water with Elijah's cloak and cried out, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" Then the river divided, and Elisha went across. When the group of prophets from Jericho saw from a distance what happened, they exclaimed, "Elijah's spirit rests upon Elisha." And they went to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. "Sir," they said, "just say the word and 50 of our strongest men will search the wilderness for your master. Perhaps the spirit of the Lord has left him on some mountain or in some valley." "No," Elisha said, "don't send them." But they kept urging him until they shamed him into agreeing. And he finally said, "All right, send them." So 50 men searched for 3 days, but did not find Elijah. Elisha was still at Jericho when they returned. "Didn't I tell you not to go?" he asked. One day the leaders of the town of Jericho visited Elisha. "We have a problem, my lord," they told him. "This town is located in pleasant surroundings, as you can see, but the water is bad and the land is unproductive," Elisha said. "Bring me a new bowl with salt in it." So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the spring that supplied the town with water and threw the salt into it. And he said, "This is what the Lord says. I have purified this water. It will no longer cause death or infertility." And the water has remained pure ever since, just as Elisha said. Elisha left Jericho and went up to Bethel. As he was walking along the road, a group of boys from the town began mocking and making fun of him. "Go away, Baldy," they chanted. "Go away, Baldy." Elisha turned around and looked at them, and he cursed them in the name of the Lord. Then two bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of them. From there, Elisha went to Mount Carmel and finally returned to Samaria. Ahab's son Joram began to rule over Israel in the 18th year of King Jehoshaphat's reign in Judah. He reigned in Samaria 12 years. He did what was evil in the Lord's sight, but not to the same extent as his father and mother. He at least tore down the sacred pillar of Baal that his father had set up. Nevertheless, he continued in the sins that Jeroboam, son of Nebat, had committed and led the people of Israel to commit. King Mesha of Moab was a sheep breeder. He used to pay the king of Israel an annual tribute of 100,000 lambs and the wool of 100,000 rams. But after Ahab's death, the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. So King Joram promptly mustered the army of Israel and marched from Samaria. On the way, he sent this message to King Jehoshaphat of Judah. "The king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you join me in battle against him?" And Jehoshaphat replied, "Why, of course. You and I are as one. My troops are your troops, and my horses are your horses." Then Jehoshaphat asked, "What route will we take?" "We will attack from the wilderness of Edom," Joram replied. The king of Edom and his troops joined them, and all three armies traveled along a roundabout route through the wilderness for 7 days. But there was no water for the men or their animals. "What should we do?" the king of Israel cried out. "The Lord has brought the three of us here to let the king of Moab defeat us." But King Jehoshaphat of Judah asked, "Is there no prophet of the Lord with us? If there is, we can ask the Lord what to do through him." One of King Joram's officers replied, "Elisha, son of Shaphat, is here. He used to be Elijah's personal assistant." Jehoshaphat said, "Yes, the Lord speaks through him." So the king of Israel, King Jehoshaphat of Judah, and the king of Edom went to consult with Elisha. "Why are you coming to me?" Elisha asked the king of Israel. "Go to the pagan prophets of your father and mother." But King Joram of Israel said, "No, for it was the Lord who called us three kings here, only to be defeated by the king of Moab." Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, I wouldn't even bother with you except for my respect for King Jehoshaphat of Judah. Now bring me someone who can play the harp." While the harp was being played, the power of the Lord came upon Elisha, and he said, "This is what the Lord says. This dry valley will be filled with pools of water. You will see neither wind nor rain, says the Lord, but this valley will be filled with water. You will have plenty for yourselves and your cattle and other animals. But this is only a simple thing for the Lord, for he will make you victorious over the army of Moab. You will conquer the best of their towns, even the fortified ones. You will cut down all their good trees, stop up all their springs, and ruin all their good land with stones." The next day, at about the time when the morning sacrifice was offered, water suddenly appeared. It was flowing from the direction of Edom, and soon there was water everywhere. Meanwhile, when the people of Moab heard about the three armies marching against them, they mobilized every man who was old enough to strap on a sword, and they stationed themselves along their border. But when they got up the next morning, the sun was shining across the water, making it appear red to the Moabites like blood. "It's blood," the Moabites exclaimed. "The three armies must have attacked and killed each other. Let's go, men of Moab, and collect the plunder." But when the Moabites arrived at the Israelite camp, the army of Israel rushed out and attacked them until they turned and ran. The army of Israel chased them into the land of Moab, destroying everything as they went. They destroyed the towns, covered their good lands with stones, stopped up all the springs, and cut down all the good trees. Finally, only Kir Hareseth and its stone walls were left, but men with slings surrounded and attacked it. When the king of Moab saw that he was losing the battle, he led 700 of his swordsmen in a desperate attempt to break through the enemy lines near the king of Edom, but they failed. Then the king of Moab took his oldest son, who would have been the next king, and sacrificed him as a burnt offering on the wall. So there was great anger against Israel, and the Israelites withdrew and returned to their own land. One day, the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, "My husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come threatening to take my two sons as slaves." "What can I do to help you?" Elisha asked. "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" "Nothing at all, except a flask of olive oil," she replied. And Elisha said, "Borrow as many empty jars as you can find from your friends and neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled." So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon every container was full to the brim. "Bring me another jar," she said to one of her sons. "There aren't any more," he told her. And then the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, "Now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over." One day Elisha went to the town of Shunem. A wealthy woman lived there, and she urged him to come to her home for a meal. After that, whenever he passed that way, he would stop there for something to eat. She said to her husband, "I am sure this man who stops in from time to time is a holy man of God. Let's build a small room for him on the roof and furnish it with a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. Then he will have a place to stay whenever he comes by." One day Elisha returned to Shunem, and he went up to this upper room to rest. He said to his servant Gehazi, "Tell the woman from Shunem I want to speak to her." When she appeared, Elisha said to Gehazi, "Tell her, we appreciate the kind concern you have shown us. What can we do for you? Can we put in a good word for you to the king or to the commander of the army?" "No," she replied. "My family takes good care of me." Later, Elisha asked Gehazi, "What can we do for her?" Gehazi replied, "She doesn't have a son, and her husband is an old man." "Call her back again," Elisha told him. When the woman returned, Elisha said to her, as she stood in the doorway, "Next year at this time, you will be holding a son in your arms." "No, my lord," she cried. "Oh, man of God, don't deceive me and get my hopes up like that." But sure enough, the woman soon became pregnant. And at that time, the following year, she had a son, just as Elisha had said. One day, when her child was older, he went out to help his father, who was working with the harvesters. Suddenly he cried out, "My head hurts, my head hurts." His father said to one of the servants, "Carry him home to his mother." So the servant took him home, and his mother held him on her lap. But around noontime he died. She carried him up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, then shut the door and left him there. She sent a message to her husband, "Send one of the servants and a donkey so that I can hurry to the man of God and come right back." "Why go today?" he asked. "It is neither a new moon festival nor a Sabbath." But she said, "It will be all right." So she saddled the donkey and said to the servant, "Hurry, Don't slow down unless I tell you to." As she approached the man of God at Mount Carmel, Elisha saw her in the distance. He said to Gehazi, "Look, the woman from Shunem is coming. Run out to meet her and ask her, 'Is everything all right with you, your husband, and your child?'" "Yes," the woman told Gehazi, "everything is fine." But when she came to the man of God at the mountain, she fell to the ground before him and caught hold of his feet. Gehazi began to push her away, but the man of God said, "Leave her alone. She is deeply troubled, but the Lord has not told me what it is." Then she said, "Did I ask you for a son, my Lord? And didn't I say, 'Don't deceive me and get my hopes up'?" Then Elisha said to Gehazi, "Get ready to travel. Take my staff and go. Don't talk to anyone along the way. Go quickly and lay the staff on the child's face." But the boy's mother said, "As surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I won't go home unless you go with me." So Elisha returned with her. Gehazi hurried on ahead and laid the staff on the child's face, but nothing happened. There was no sign of life. He returned to meet Elisha and told him, "The child is still dead." When Elisha arrived, the child was indeed dead, laying there on the prophet's bed. He went in alone and shut the door behind him and prayed to the Lord. Then he laid down on the child's body, placing his mouth on the child's mouth, his eyes on the child's eyes, and his hands on the child's hands. And as he stretched out on him, the child's body began to grow warm again. Elisha got up, walked back and forth across the room once, and then stretched himself out again on the child. This time the boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Then Elisha summoned Gehazi. "Call the child's mother," he said. And when she came in, Elisha said, "Here, take your son." She fell at his feet and bowed before him, overwhelmed with gratitude. Then she took her son in her arms and carried him downstairs. Elisha now returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in the land. One day, as the group of prophets was seated before him, he said to his servant, "Put a large pot on the fire and make some stew for the rest of the group." One of the young men went out into the field to gather herbs and came back with a pocketful of wild gourds. He shredded them and put them into the pot without realizing they were poisonous. Some of the stew was served to the men, but after they had eaten a bite or two, they cried out, "Man of God, there's poison in this stew." So they would not eat it. Elisha said, "Bring me some flour." Then he threw it into the pot and said, "Now it's all right. Go ahead and eat." And then it did not harm them. One day, a man from Baal Shelisha brought the man of God a sack of fresh grain and 20 loaves of barley bread made from the first grain of his harvest. Elisha said, "Give it to the people so they can eat." "What?" the servant exclaimed. "Feed 100 people with only this?" But Elisha repeated, "Give it to the people so they can eat. But this is what the Lord says, everyone will eat, and there will even be some left over." And when they gave it to the people, there was plenty for all, and some left over, just as the Lord had promised. Okay, it's another one of those days where there is a lot to talk about. After King Ahab's death, Moab rebels against Israel. The new king takes a tumble and makes a grave error. Literally, he consults one of the other gods in the temple, Beelzebub, to see if he would recover. Now, this is something that we should pay attention to, because sometimes we do the same thing. It's not as black and white in our lives sometimes as it can be in the Bible. And we even maybe dismiss our own rebellions because they don't look the same as it reads in the stories of the Bible. King Ahaziah had no trust and God. He didn't consult God. He consulted a different God. Now, some of us are not calling the psychic hotline or going to the local palm reader or mediums, but man, don't we show up when there's a local prophet at the local church because we want a word from the Lord. We want to know what is in the cards for us. We want to know if we're going to get that better job or if we're going to have that baby that we want. Are we going to find the love that we have been holding out for? And we just need a word from the Lord to get us through, to get us by. And we're consulting anyone but God. We are abandoning the process to go by the quick pass to get to the front of the line. Where is our trust? Where is our dependency? And then we read about Elijah and Elisha. And that story pretty much reads itself. Elijah is carried off into a chariot. Elisha has asked for a double portion. And then we witness miracles, like physical, actual miracles that take place that we haven't witnessed miracles such as this in a while, if I'm being honest. And this will not be the last time that we see such things. And if you're a note taker, we might just want to reference this place because there's this man named Jesus we will meet in the New Testament. And some of the miracles that we will read about Jesus will have a slight reference. There will be some similarities in what we read today in the miracles of Elisha. And then we read about the war that breaks out between Israel and Moab. And isn't it interesting that several things that we've read about war, the strategy for attack here in the last few stories of war has been confusion. It has been assumption. It has been conclusions that are untrue. One of the last stories we read, it's an absolutely fascinating strategy or a fascinating major snafu. And theologically, I don't know which one it is. And then today in this war with Israel and Moab, the sun is shining across the water, giving it an illusion that this is blood. And the Moabites assume that it's blood. They assume that the other armies must have attacked and killed each other. And so they go out and they take all the plunder. Again, it's an illusion that causes confusion, that leads to an assumption that causes Israel to attack the Moabites. I read these stories and sometimes I walk away with far more questions than I do answers. But today, I walk away thinking about the assumptions, the conclusions I've drawn in my own life. I think about the confusion in my own mind that made me act in my own accord, and where those choices landed me or those that I love. I think about the internal conflict within ourselves, within our own minds, within our own families, based on assumptions in our own communities, assumptions that lead to conclusions, that lead to gossip, that lead to telling of something that is factual and actual and truth. And it was assumed based on our pride. It was assumed based on us needing to know, and we're never going to know, so we fill in the gaps to feed our ego and look powerful. I would dare to say that assumption without any fact, without any truth, without any voice, rarely leads to anything good. And maybe this is where we pause and consider our own lives today. Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this space and this time. God, I ask that you would catch us, that your Holy Spirit would convict us, not condemn us. You are not the voice of accusation or condemnation, but your conviction stops us and tells us, this is not of you. This is not pleasing to the Lord. This is not walking in the righteousness of God. May we always stop and ask before we assume, especially with the people that we love, that we claim to love, and we assume so poorly about them, and it devastates the relationship. It devastates the intimacy and the trust. It's broken. We can never go back and make things right when we spread gossip and rumors based on assumption. I pray that as sons and daughters and as followers and bearers of the name of Christ, we would do better. And we can only do this with your help. And I pray this all in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Daily Audio Bible. That's home base. That's the website. That's the free app. Check it out. Check out The Long Walk. It's happening July the 7th in this big, beautiful global campfire. This is our national holiday together. People will be walking all over the globe. That's so exciting. Get out and be with God. Get alone with God. Get quiet with God, if we could encourage you to do that. Let him speak. And I get hearing that. And then the fear behind that is, but what if he doesn't speak to me? Firstly, I validate that fear. We've all been there. There's no pressure for God to speak. But when we make space and when we invite him in, it's rare that he doesn't show up. So first, know that there's an invitation to allow God to speak, but there's no expectation that you have to come away. Knowing God's plan and purpose for your life, just make time. Just make time to be alone with him. We will set up a Facebook page on Daily Audio Bible official Facebook page, and we will set up a post, and you can place your pictures, your videos, anything you want to share about your long walk that you participated in. That's coming up in just a few days, July the 7th. If you would like to partner with us, thank you so much to each and every one of you for each and every partnership. We could not do this without you. If you're giving by mail, DAB PO Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174, or again, utilizing that app, hit the give icon up at the top right hand corner, and lastly, look for the give icon on the website. If you need prayer, if you'd like to pray for someone that's previously called in, if you would like to share what you believe God has answered prayers through the community, there are several ways for you to do so. 800-583-2164. That is the old-fashioned way to call, by using your finger and a keypad and a dial pad. Remember when we used to have to push the numbers all the way around and let them fall all the way back? Good times. You have 2 minutes on the prayer line, or again, utilizing the app, hit the red circle button up at the top. When you are finished, hit submit, turn that wheel to chronological, and it will get to the right place. That's it for me today. I'm Jill. We will turn the page together tomorrow. And I look forward to this time and space with each and every one of you. Until then, love one another.
Hi, this is Gail from South Carolina. First, I would like to thank everyone who prayed for me back in May when I was feeling really sick and had lost my voice. I would like to pray for, I think she said her name was God's Little Lamb. And Lord, I just lift her up to you right now. And I ask that you would just healer and the antibiotics they give her to combat the Bell's palsy will work effectively. And in regards to her, the virus, I pray that God, you would just cause it to leave her body and to heal her quickly, and that the doctors would be amazed. My second prayer is for, I think her name was God Songbird. I know she's from Canada. I think it's Saskatchewan. I haven't heard you in a while. I want you to know I've been praying for you. Please be encouraged. I pray that God's love would surround you and his truth would infiltrate your life and his strength would be with you. Thank you guys, particularly Brian and Joe, for creating this platform for us. And I give God the glory for all of the victories that his people have had because of your...
Hello, this is Mike from South Dakota. A longtime listener, my wife and I started listening to it in 2012 and have listened to it pretty much constantly ever since then. And we really love this community. It's a big part of our lives, big part of everything that we do. And we are both double dabbers. We listen to both the chronological and the regular. And we really love this community, and we love all of you. We want to send that out. Today I'm asking you to hold my wife up in prayer. She's experiencing dizziness and equilibrium problems and stomach aches, and we don't know what it is. Very adverse to doctors and medical, so we're just asking you to pray this out. I've asked for several things to be prayed for over the years of my brother-in-law and my grandkids and my just different people. And it is always resolved very quickly and very well through just prayer. So that's why I'm calling you, because we don't have faith in anything other than Jesus. And so we're asking you to pray to Jesus for my wife to recover from this equilibrium problem. Thank you very much. God bless y'all. Adios.
This is Pray Without Ceasing in Atlanta. I'm looking at my journal, and I wrote on June 22nd, a Sunday, that I was giving God glory for allowing us to hear our sister again and so close to a recent call. I didn't know what I needed or was missing what's in her. I didn't know I needed or was missing what's in her. LOV and others who don't know, but one day will. People are praying for you and thinking of you dearly. I know this call is, you know, this message is late. It was something that was on my heart when I heard it. I wrote it down, but kept moving. And here we are 8 days later. But I just want to say to LOV and our brother Sparky, who I didn't know was on this side until I heard his call. God bless you and may his face shine upon you, smile on you, give you favor and peace and all that you need at this time. Thank you for being who you are, and thank you for what you are to our family. Amen. God bless you.
Hey, Deb C fam. It's Carrie, a.k.a. Jesus Girl. I come to you with a breaking human heart and a rejoicing in Christ heart. Our beloved Adrian, God's mighty tortoise, is walking with Jesus tonight. It's Sunday and the 29th, and she passed at 5:45 tonight. Her infections led to sepsis, and her organs failed on her, and she went home. I was blessed to, we hadn't met in person, but we've been personally close for a couple years now, and she was a dear sister to me, and she loved the dab, both, she double dabbed. She pretty much all dabbed. And this was such an important part of her daily life. And we need to lift her husband, Tim, up. They've been friends since they were 16. They just got together in the last couple years and they were married a year in February. And she has a daughter named Meg, who is due with a baby literally any minute if she hasn't had it already, and a son named Mark. So, Lord, the few seconds I've got left, I ask God that you bless each and every person that will forever miss Adrienne's presence, and we thank you for blessing us with her.